The Rambam, we're starting. We're going. Here we go. The Rambam, Hilchas Avodin, Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Beis, Chapter 8, Law Yud 12. How do you acquire an Eved Kanani? Okay, how do we do that? So, Hakoina Eved Minagoy, Stam, how do you get a hold of an Eved Kanani? Well, if you buy an Eved from a Goy, that's a good likely place to get it. A Goy owns a servant, right? And now you're buying it from him, and you got to add in, no conditions were made. As we'll see shortly, there could be conditions. It was an unconditional purchase.
Stop.
Now, the lo ratza limo, and the guy says, I don't want, you bought him. I said, I don't want to get circumcised. As an Eved Kanani, he should get circumcised,
that's
right?
Painful.
Well, a kabbal mitzvah, I don't want to accept mitzvahs of, that a servant has to be, because remember, you could only keep an Eved Kanani if he's willing to do the mitzvahs of a lady. So to be an Eved Kanani, that a Jew live in it to, for you to live in Israel as a Jew with an Eved Kanani, the Eved Kanani must get a circumcision and must accept to do mitzvahs as a woman, or he just cannot be an Eved Kanani. So you go and you buy a goy happens to have, let's say the goy, you're going out of town, you're in Bavel, and you pick up a goy along the way, and you buy a goy, Canaanite slave, and say, I'm going to bring you to Israel. Fine, no condition made, nothing was said, and you, I'm going to buy you.
At the border, I guess.
And now what happens? And now you bring and says, listen, man, now we're going to take you to the mohel. What? We're going to circumcise you. What? You're going to do that? What are you talking about? You can't do that. And then he said, and I ain't doing mitzvahs either. So now what happens? Well, number one, Megalglin Emo, we work with him.
We work with him.
We try to persuade him.
Sure.
For 12 months, we try to get him used to, you know, give him some bagels
and some
things
classes,
like that. And
classes,
you teach him a little bit.
Yiddish.
You enroll him in Avram Avinu University, you know.
Right.
And you try to work on him. And maybe he'll come around, which would be a nice thing. But so if he does, fine. But Vim Lo Ratza, he says, no, I'm adamant. It's a year, and I'm still not going to let you touch me, man.
He's gone.
So then what happens? He's, well, you can't keep him anymore. So now what do you have to do? The Jew must chozer, go back, umachara lagoy. He has to sell him either to a goy, o lechutzalaretz, or outside of Eretz Yisrael, to a Jew outside of Eretz Yisrael, because you don't have to keep any mitzvahs there. But he can't keep him with him in the land of Eretz Yisrael, that for sure not. So that, in other words, so just you can't keep him. You don't have to lose money. Somebody will buy him from you. So go sell him to a goy. Take him out of Eretz Yisrael, whatever. And he's not your problem. You get a year to try it out. Didn't work out. It wasn't a good deal. So you don't have to lose money. Go sell him to another goy. But what if when he buys him, the Eved pipes up? Im hisna ha'Eved alav. And the Eved makes, he hears he's being bought. And the Eved says, wait a minute. Tchila says, right away, I'm telling you now, before... See, but before he didn't say anything, but now he says, Shalom, I ain't getting circumcised. So interestingly, Hareze Mutter Lakaimo, you may keep him.
Ooh.
However, the commentators add, he must accept the 7 Noahide mitzvahs. And then he could live like a Ger Toshav. All right? At least he can give him like a Ger Toshav. All right? That's if he made a condition. Without the condition, we're not happy to leave a guy as a Ger Toshav. We want it to be a Yid. Well, not a Yid, but like a female at least, right? Female Jew. But if he, so now we said, okay, you can keep him, but he must keep the 7 laws as a Ger Toshav. Kol, and therefore, Hareza Mutal Akaimo, Kol Sman Chi Yirtsu Begayus, as long as the guy wants to be a non-Jew. And then, since he already isn't accepting Jews like a woman, he's no better than a Goy, so to speak, then... You can now sell him to a goy. Remember, the original prohibition of selling an Eved Kanani to a goy is you're lowering his spiritual standard.
Right,
this
yeah.
guy never had much of a standard except he's a righteous Gentile, as they say. Right?
So you can,
sell him to a goy. Oh, look, sell him out of Eretz Yisrael. Because he isn't that holy to begin with. Okay? Now, how about another one? V'chein Eved Shemal. Let's say the Eved gets circumcised. Vitoval, and he goes to the mikvah l'shem avdus to be a proper servant. Okay? So now he's a real Eved Kanani. That's a real, you know, proper Eved Kanani. But then what happened was he kind of messed up. The Eved Kanani allowed him, as it were, to be captured by enemy soldiers. Right? It's not that he was taken against his will. He kind of allowed himself, right, to get captured, as it were. So he's kind of at fault. And more than that, Rabbi Yochalotzi, and his master can't get him out.
Uh-oh.
Right? Lobedini, so he can't go to a Jewish court and extricate him from the enemy.
Or
Lobedini, so he can't go to a Goyish court and get this guy out. So now what are you going to do? Here's your Ever Kanani. Ever Kanani kind of on his own messed up and got himself in trouble. So wait, you do have financial ownership. He is still your Eved. You can't say he's not your Eved. You just don't have access to him. So what can he do? You can now take money from a goy, meaning to say you could sell him to a goy. Normally you couldn't sell him to a goy, right? But since the guy was negligent and it's him being captured, we don't want you to lose the money on him. You could sell him to a goy. The co-save, and you write it down, even to go to a non-Jewish court, which we normally don't do, but we're allowed to do this, because it's like he's saving his money from him.
How do you deliver him?
Yeah.
That's not my problem.
Who would want to buy him?
The guy who buys him.
Who's going to buy him?
You're going to get a bargain deal.
Well, you sell the rights to the guy, assuming you can get
Yeah. You're not getting full price. You paid $500 for it. I'll sell you 10 cents on the dollar.
10 cents on the dollar.
You know, maybe you can persuade these guys, maybe pay them off, whatever. Whatever.
Could be so, Alabama.
But the point we're making is normally you can't sell your servant to a goy. When the goy was negligent, allowed himself to get in this predicament, we try to help you from losing total money out of this. Oh. So that's what you're able to
it's
do.
Like a fire sale.
Yes. Now the next two halachas are going to discuss a slight thing over here. When you own an Eved Kanani, there's really two things. You have there's a monetary issue and a body issue. In other words, you own the monetary worth of this servant. He has a monetary worth. And then there's his body beyond the monetary worth. You'll see where the differences lie here. So let's say you have a servant, and this is what you decide to do. Hamafkir avdo. You say, you know, I'm making my Eved Hefker. It's not much. It's like you could take a pen and say, I make it Hefker. It's ownerless. Finish. What happens now? Any one of you guys can take it.
Yeah.
But here it's only a monetary issue. There's only one issue, a monetary issue. When you make a slave Hefker, what if you said, I don't own it anymore? It's not monetarily mine. He can work for you, but he's still not freed. So his body, I still own his body, even though I don't own the financial. You understand? You can't be Mafker the fact that he is a Canaanite slave. That's a status. That's a status. That's a body status. There's a there's two issues that go with having a Canaanite slave. The body is a slave, and there's a monetary value. So when you make it Hefker, all you could do is say that the monetary value is not mine. So let's say someone steals him now from me. Well, then he doesn't have to pay me any money. But he still hasn't been released.
Right.
He still has to do a release. Even I make him Hefker, so a pen doesn't have to be released. You understand? I can make the pen Hefker. Paul goes and takes it. He's not a ganef because it's free. You could take it. But I didn't have to redeem the pen. I didn't have to free the pen. But the servant, even if he has zero value in my bank account, he is still a Canaanite slave and has to be freed. So what is that? So Mafgaravdo, Yotzalacherus, he goes free per se. Because the owner doesn't have any financial ownership over him. But if it's Sorech Get Shichur, he needs an emancipation document, which we will force the master to write in order to remove his body ownership over the slave. And here you see the upshot. What if after the owner makes him Hefker, but he didn't write the divorce thing, the owner makes him Hefker and then dies before he can free him. Now what happens? His sons inherit. What do they inherit? They don't inherit the monetary issue over here, but they still inherit the fact that he's their slave. And therefore, Hayyirish, the inheritor, Kosev Lo Get Shichur, has to write a bill of emancipation to remove that aspect from him.
So there's really nothing in between. It's just a matter of finishing the process.
Finishing up the process.
Sorry, I forgot. How does the Evikanani become an Evikanani? I know the Evikanani.
You buy. We just said that.
No,
we buy. He was
just
a goy.
Walking around the street. How does his status become?
You buy him, and then you tell him. You tell him what's going to be now. So and you're going to get circumcised. You're going to go to the mikvah, and then he's Eved Kanani.
So
you go to a goy. You buy a goy.
He gets some money in exchange for changing his status.
He doesn't get nothing.
No, but
he wants to know how he becomes one to begin with.
Yeah, where does that?
I just said he goes. A goy owns this servant.
No, how does a goy own?
How does he become a goy? What do you want from a guy?
Become a servant. How does he become a slave?
Okay, you never watched any war movies in the medieval days? They go. The Canaanites go and they knock out the Prizes, right?
The Prizes.
And they take half the Prizes with them and they take them as slaves and they own them. A goy owns them.
Oh boy!
Owned by conquest. What are you? What's so
it's initiated by other goyim.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. There's many other ways. Or if we beat them in war, yeah, we could take him.
Yeah. No, we talk at length how a Jew becomes a slave. I didn't know how a goy becomes a slave.
So here, the Rambam gave you the classic example. You buy from another goy.
No, but how did he become a slave in the first instance?
But
okay, what you said.
The goy owns him.
Usually conquering through war.
The goys have their own laws. They have their own laws. You never heard about slaves ever in the history of the world? How did the blacks become slaves? Guess what? They clubbed them over the head and took them to America, and you're my slave. That's it. And you're my, I own you. That's it. So goyim have them. Yes, they're slaves. You know, conquests of battle. Right? That happens. How does a Jew get a slave? How do we get a slave? You win a war, you take the spoils. They're mine.
Okay,
I'm sorry. I thought it was easier than it was. Maybe not. Okay. Okay, you doubt. This is a little tricky one now. You doubt. Evet Shabarach Mesa Servant. So I guess it's going back on two halachas back. What if the servant runs out of jail? Remember, he was captured and he runs out of jail. Depends. Imnis Shashman, or if his master already gave up hope before he ran away. So when he gave up hope, that's like making it hefker, right? So his monetary ownership is gone, but still the slave wasn't emancipated. So then, and now that he runs away, you already were mafker him. So it's no different than Alocha Yud Gimel. He's already hefker. Once you're miyayesh, it's hefker. But still the old owner has to do something. Yotzalacher, he goes free, but Kaif and Esrab, we force the master, Vekosef Leget Shichur, to write a emancipation document. So his essence is free. It's exactly the same as Halacha Yud Gimel, just a different way of making it hefker 3 years.
One, yeah.
So maybe it's the English, but in the one Yud Gimel, it says he should. So do we compel the heir to write the Bill of Freedom?
To get shechur.
Yes. What? I'm not sure what you're asking.
Do we force him to do it?
It says, V'tzarech get shechur. He has to give him a get shechur. I don't know what your English says. V'tzarech get shechur. He needs a get shichur. Now the next one says we force, but the commentaries say it means we force him. But you know, well, listen. Here's the difference, Shelley. Here's the difference. When I say it's hefker, we don't have to really force him so much because you willingly made him hefker. So we say he should write a document. When my thing got captured, all right, and I just gave up hope. You know, kind of I wish I could have him back, no, but I
he's
can't.
He's talking about the Yorshim. The Yorshim. You force the Yorshim. Is the case.
It says the Yorish writes a get shichur. I'm not sure.
Him, though. He doesn't say that he forced him.
Just like before it said, what? Look at the line before in Yigimel. Vitzarech, the father, tzarech get shichur. To the Yorish, kaisiv lo get shichur. It's the same thing. I don't know what the English is saying, but in the Hebrew it's very clear. They have to write it. Don't look at the English. The Hebrew is clear. Ko save, he has to do it. Hayoresh ko save get shukr. The inheritor writes an emancipation document. What does that mean? He writes an emancipation document. What do you think that means? He has a choice? He has to write an emancipation document.
Whether he likes it or he doesn't.
Okay, it doesn't have the word kofin, but it's the same thing.
He doesn't get a choice.
I guess the question I'm asking then is, it's one thing the father says, okay, I want to free him, then he dies. The son can say, you know what?
But he's already free. You don't own him.
He's hefker already.
He's hefker. It's not like your father had some assets. It's not an asset. What if a father, before he dies, he has $1 million bank account, a minute before he dies, says, you know, I'm making all my money hefker. Now he dies. Can the kid inherit any of that money?
No.
No?
It's all gone.
No.
Goodbye.
It's gone. Forget it.
It's almost like this. Could just be like an aguna where he says, I'm not going to do it.
I would not be nice. You know, it's like,
do we
of course we would force. Yeah. Of course we would force. Okay, Tesva.
You can do what he wants to do.
Now, a little bit tricky, the wording here. Eved Shenishpo. Okay, a servant gets captured. Now, a little bit is repetition here, but there's some other nuances. Im nisyosh men rabba rishon, if the first master gives up hope of getting him, okay? Now, let's say somebody else is able to go where he's captured and buy him off. You know,
release him, get him out.
Yeah, you know, get him
free
out.
Him out.
So kol ha-poida oso, anybody who redeems him from his captivity. Now, why did he redeem him? This other guy, a third party, comes along. L'shem Eved. He wants to make him a slave.
He needs an Eved.
Yishtab Ebo, he can enslave him. He's his. That's pretty straightforward. Because he is, even though the guy, here's the point. The owner was Miyayish. That means he has no monetary ownership over it.
What about the star shipper?
But he still is a slave, right? Yeah. So anybody who redeems him, he can just make him work because he still is a slave. There's no issue of freeing him. It's not an issue of freeing him. So it doesn't mean he is, here's the point. He is two things. You've got to split it. Like, there's monetary ownership the owner has, and then he has a status of being an Eved Kanani. So when the owner is Miyayesh, he lost the monetary, but he's still a status of an Eved Kanani, but he ain't your Eved Kanani. He's an Eved Kanani. So the new master just buys him, and he's buying someone who is an Eved Kanani. He doesn't have to re-canonize him. What?
He just takes him.
He doesn't have to re-canonize him. You understand what I'm saying? Because he's already an Eved Kanani. You follow? So all you got to do is buy it. And he already is an Eved Kanani.
Wouldn't that apply even if you made him Hefker?
Yes, if so somebody else would buy him, but nobody bought him. He wanted to go free. No, but he's in captivity. He's not free.
No, I'm talking about the first case.
He didn't make him Hefker.
So when he's Hefker, the Eved says that I'm kind of myself and I'm free.
But he can't do that.
Yes, he can.
I thought you have to give him an emancipation problem.
No, he needs an emancipation, but monetarily he doesn't want anybody to touch. Don't you touch me. No one's going to get me. Just give me an emancipation document.
But until he gets that, isn't he?
Nobody can take him. You can't take a guy who doesn't want to be taken. You're not. Nobody owns me, and I don't want anybody to own me. No, but that, you go capture me. But they're not going to capture him. I'm not going to capture him. Here, the Eved was already captured, right? So now the guy bought him. Bought him straight out, so now he has him. But when you make the Eved Hefker, he's free. He's Hefker. And
so he has the ability to
and no, and it's more than that. He can be Kona himself, but he's still an Eved Ivri, but not to him. He has a status on Eved Ivri, but nobody owns him. When the guy owns the Eved Ivri, then whatever the Eved gets goes to the owner. But he's not my property anymore. When you make him Hefker, he has a very interesting status. He's not your property, but he still is, quote, an Eved Ivri. To who? To nobody.
Eved Kanani.
And therefore, he's chayv and mitzvahs like a woman. But he can't be a Jew yet until he's freed. But he owns himself. He's Kona himself. Yeah. What do you mean? Everything he owns goes to the master. The master doesn't own him anymore.
Monetarily, he owns.
So he doesn't own any. So monetary owns himself. He owns himself, but he's still an Eved Kanani. But what do we do? You got to free him. That's all. We have no choice. What else are you going to do with the guy? When he was a servant, captured rather, he can't own himself.
So
he belongs to the guys who have him. They were coined to him, so to speak.
So there's a big difference between Miyayish and Hefker.
Big difference.
Big difference between Miyayish and Hefker.
No, you're Miyayish because they're in somebody else's hands.
Right, I'm saying
who already have taken ownership of
right,
it.
Right. So there's a big difference. Okay. Where you don't need a star shikr with Miyayish, but you certainly do with Hefker.
How do we know someone took him? Maybe he's just
it says he was captured.
He was captured.
The case said he... The case said it was captured. What does captured mean?
Okay,
tell me what happens when you get captured. Big,
that.
Strong guy comes. Here. Get in jail. I own you now. Right? You're mine. The other guy is Miyayish. He's coined it by stealing it. I own you now. The other guy has monetary ownership if we like it or not. So the capturer, who's probably a goy, has monetary ownership over it. The guy is still an Eved Kanani. So when the guy goes and buys him, he's just buying the value of him, the Jew who buys him, and he's still an Eved Kanani.
So you don't force him then?
What's the force?
You emancipate.
Who you force? Why do you have to emancipate him? He doesn't own himself.
I thought we said that earlier.
If we make him Hefker.
Not if he was taking his cap.
If we make him Hefker. If he makes himself, if the owner makes him Hefker, then we have to emancipate him because he acquired himself. If he's captured, he didn't acquire himself.
How about
if we go ahead? How about if we go ahead? Okay. Vim padol l'shem ben chorin. Okay. Listen, I answered plenty of questions. You're going to give me new cases now. Vim padol l'shem ben chorin. Let's say a third guy, the guy still captured all this. He doesn't buy him to make a servant. He buys him to redeem him and make him free.
Whoa.
Hmm. Hareza ben Chorin, he becomes free. He becomes free. Now, we're speaking, what the comment explains. The comment explains, it's not so simple. So the original owner was not Miayesh, and then he goes back to what?
If he was Miayesh.
If he was
no, Miayesh. No, test.
Because look at the next case. He says, the Imlo Niayesh,
Wait.
Yeah, so let's go to the first case.
So, L'shem ben Chorin, Harei Zeb ben Chorin.
Yes.
So, how is Zeb ben Chorin? Well, let's read on. Vimlo Nishash Men Rabbi. What if the first Rabbi wasn't
Miayesh? So he must
have been Miayesh. Then Hapoda L'shem Evid, the guy who redeems him to be a servant, what does he do? Notal Pinyon Rabbi. He gets the money he collects from the first guy, V'chos Rabbi, and goes back to the original owner.
Whoa.
He can redeem it for the owner and get money paid back for it.
What if he did Miayesh?
So what if he was Miayesh? The case beforehand. He becomes a Ben Chorin? How does he become a Ben Chorin? What happens to the fact that he was a Canaanite?
It must be, because look what it says.
Ben
Harishon.
Who said that?
Look at that. Finish off
That's the last one. What about the one before him?
So beforehand, it must be.
Okay.
He must be Miayesh.
Okay, so I guess
it
he's explaining now. Ben Padol L'Shem Ben Chorin, if he redeems him to become free.
Yeah.
Chozer L'Rabba Rishon, he goes back to the first master below Klum.
Right, because
and
he
the first master doesn't have to pay back the guy at all.
Because he hasn't Miayeshed him.
Okay, then where's the case then before Hareza Ben
Chorin?
He
did Miayesh.
So he's Miayesh. How could he be a Ben Chorin? He still is, just as we had before when you're Miayesh, he's not a Ben Chorin. Right? Still, Koifinus Rabo to grade him and get Shichur. Why are we not ready to get Shichur?
That's a good question.
And the comedies don't answer. You hear the question?
I hear the question.
If the guy redeems him to make him free, he goes free. But how does he go free?
Because the other one was, the owner was Miayesh.
And Miayesh is not enough. He has to write him a get Shichur. Why is nobody saying that? You understand what my problem is with this part of the
problem? Because it looks like it's directly contradicting what it says previously.
Okay, if he was a Miayesh, then he'll go back to the owner and he'll pay him back.
Right.
That's fine.
That's clear.
If he wants to make him free, then L'shem Ben Chorin.
Wouldn't he just give him the paper?
So I get the sense.
Either he writes it or I don't know.
He redeems him. There must be something more when you're having the kavanah of Ben Chorin, not only of your redeeming.
But he doesn't have the right to emancipate him.
Well, it looks like he, according to Rambam, he does.
I know. Okay. I don't understand why. Okay, fine.
That's
a question. Okay, it's a question. It's not the first time we had a question. Okay, let's move on. Okay, Tezayin. Here's an interesting case. Eved Shaso Rabba Potiki. A master borrows money from somebody, and an apotiki. Remember, apotiki means this is what we call a distinct collateral.
Right.
I'm borrowing money, and you're going to collect only from the servant.
That's it.
That's all. If I don't pay back, that's the mashkin. It's a distinct one. So now what happens? So good. Lobal Chovo. But then what is this borrower does? He does then, Vishichrur, he frees his Canaanite slave before the date to pay back the money.
That is so nice.
Now the guy goes free. The guy
that
says, okay, it's time
so
to pay me back.
Nice.
Sorry, I don't have him. What happens? Look at this. Harezim Meshuchrar. He is freed because he was freed before his time to collect. And that takes off the Shibud. Once he freed him,
he's free,
it's
man.
A different a being. It's a different, quote-unquote, animal, you know, different name. He's not a servant anymore. He's not a servant. He's a free man.
He's not collectible.
But wait a minute. So he's freed, but we're not done yet. So you figure, okay, it's a bad deal. What if you make an apotiki on something and the thing gets lost?
Mm-hmm.
I make an apotiki, I'm going to pay you back from Bessie. Right? And Bessie fell off a cliff and died. Well, there's nothing to collect from.
You have nothing
to pay from.
No, apotheke means you can
that's
only
that's
collect
you got
from this and
you got nothing,
nothing
to collect
else.
From.
Even if I have millions of dollars, when you make an apotheke, means from all my assets, I'm only doing it like this.
If you,
you
agree to
collect,
it. If you
yeah,
agree to
he doesn't
it.
Have to
you agree,
agree
to it.
He agrees.
If you agree to it.
Now, he said, the only thing you collect from my servant. What do? I went and freed him. He's a servant. It's nothing to collect.
Why would it be agreed to do on a pocket? What's the advantage for anybody?
Maybe you got good terms. Maybe you lent him $10 and the servant's worth $1,000. You're willing to take the risk.
Okay. But this is in his hands to free him.
We're just saying the law. We're just saying the law. Maybe he wasn't fit. You know, many business deals, you never figure the other guy's going to do something.
But it does happen.
You know, a lot of times you figure, I wasn't freeing him. Why would the guy make him vote if he's going to free him? He was a good worker. Why would he want to free him? And the truth is, why would he want to? Let's wait a minute. Let's think about it. Why in heaven's name would the guy free him? What does he gain by freeing him over the fact that the guy takes him? Think about that.
Like,
I borrow money from you. I'm lending you money. So, okay, you can collect my slave. Now, as long as I don't have to collect money, you can use the slave, right? Why would you set the slave free? Why won't you let me collect? Does it any make a difference to you? Is your monetary worth any better off? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. So the guy figured he's not going to sell it. Why would he not sell it? Why would he
free it?
Free it. Why would he free it? If he sold it, maybe it'd be different, because now he got the money from it. That might be a little different.
Yeah, that's true.
But freeing it, why would he free it? He didn't gain anything.
He lost.
Whatever. So that's why a guy would do such a thing. But look at this thing. So now you figure, okay, tough luck, you're out of business.
No.
And the guy freed him. That's the end of the game. It's not the end of the game. The covenant is Balchova, the guy, the creditor. We also forced the creditor. The shachro to free him. That's rabbinically.
Whoa.
And the commentary adds, he has to pay him back.
Yeah,
because he caused him to lose the money. He was a grumma to lose the money. But now, why do we make the second guy free him if he never bought him? He never got him. Why does he have free him? That's only a rabbinic decree. It's to fix up the world, meaning to fix up the servant. Why? Because it's going to be bad press for the servant. I was going to say, well, I thought he had an apotheke on him. Isn't he this guy's servant? They may say, okay, he's not the first guy's servant. Of course, he's the second guy's servant. It's going to be bad for Shidduchim. Imagine 20 years later, he becomes a Jew, sends his kids to Beis Yaakov. They want to go out, and they have a resume. What was your father's profession? He used to be an Eved Kanani. Really? Oh, yeah, but he was free. But I heard there was an apotheke on him. Isn't he still an Eved Kanani? And maybe you're not a frum girl. You're a Shifra Kananis,
oh,
right? So therefore, Shelo Yivka Bolach is when the guy shouldn't meet him later on, the potential borrower, right? You're my servant. So for Tikkun Olam, we say,
force him.
So now he's a man. So here's a good trick question. When does a servant have to be emancipated twice?
Here.
In this case, where the borrower emancipated him, and now the lender has to emancipate him a second time. We only need one guy from the room next door. Shh.